chant three times of refugee and taking bodhicitta, which is very important. In a sense, so we said, always we have a remind ourselves there's a refugee in terms of Buddhist tradition. But he's saying, what do we want? We want to understand the reality, actualize the reality. Total weakened mind, or we can say a mind understand reality. Or we understand our own mind, that means. Or we understand fully, understand all existence of a phenomenon, the fundamental or nature of all phenomena. If from these, I said, Buddha are the perfect form that understand everything, so it's sometimes called all-knowing quality, possess. And the way of passing to the reach Buddhahood is Dharma. It's not saying only Buddha understand, nobody understand like that. It's not a way of Buddhist teaching. Said. It says we all capable to understand in certain right cause and the condition. This is especially virtuous deeds and purifying your own mind continuously. One day you will be same as a Buddha, no more, no less. You have a same understand or accomplishment. So this path is the teaching, theoretical teachings, and also practice, how you gain the experience from the teaching. This is Dharma. And the Sangha is saying, basically, inner Sangha means you, your own effort, mindfulness, awareness, these righteous view, and proper understanding and cultivation, these are your inner kind of a helper or virtuous friend of your own quality. And also externally, usually we say it's a community, which is your Dharma sister, brother, sister, Dharma Vajra sister, brothers and sisters, sometimes called Vajra brother. The same means you have the same goal, the same interest or understanding, and in this path, I'm not saying we are same level, but it said people maybe some are in the same level, some are in the beginning, not understanding much. Some are more advanced, but in this community can passing down this lineage and to explain or have the communal power or community that support each other to accomplish this path to fruition. So this is our existence. Normally, we, like a social animal, we rely on the community. And also, for secular or worldly gain, people also wanted to gather together as a, like a city, village, or different, large or small, people gathering together and giving some, help to each other or exchange to each other, and that make enrich the society, and one could have a good idea and through the communication, and also said 1 + 1 = 2, it's more than 2, that means individual things there is a limitation of a capability for individual, for worldly kind of activities. But more people working in a certain order or spontaneously way, then the enlarged overall kind of energy is much increased. So similarly, in Buddhist teaching and the practice also said, when we go gathering together and to practice. There is also encouragement, encouraging each other. And one person may not, some people really love to stay solitude, but for some people, when they meditate, if better, there are more other people also doing same thing. If you see outside singing, dancing, and traveling, doing many things, you are only the, you are the person sitting there, and then you may want to say, oh, I don't want to do much, and I also want to go out or do something, other things. So, but if only a few people are singing, dancing, but more people are concentrating to the study, learning, and the meditation, then you may want to study more. So, this way, they always remember that the ultimate destination is totally kind of understand the reality. And then the methods and the friends, these are very important for spiritual journey. And the second, not only for people normally for material pursuing, is also it's a for group gain or personal gain kind of a, thinking. The more maybe it's about the self, it's more related. There are also, if it's a corporation or organization, you may also consider more about your country or your company. But here in the Buddhist practices, especially Mahayana, not only in the, all Buddhists have different traditions. Some are more focusing on the individual liberation, not having this great vast aspiration. Say, I'm the savior of all sentient beings, that kind of a brave and warrior mind. But it's focusing on different, since we have this connection and lineage, we are touched, we are linked to Mahayana tradition. So, it's important, not only when we are linking to this Mahayana tradition, but also you can reason in things, then it makes sense. If we cannot, for now, current moment, we cannot do much for all sentient beings, but through accomplishments of your own practice, you are much closer to the truth. You are kind of out of self and the others mutual benefit from, this is why I said the two benefits. One is because you are having such a compassion to help other sentient beings, so you dedicated to practice and study in the practice. And in the end, when you have a capable to do good, or in the future you have grown in much better kind of a, existence, or you achieved enlightenment, something, and then seemingly this, it's original, you are the person wanted to help, but in the end you will figure out other people's existence made this cause and the condition to accomplish yourself first, and then to help other sentient beings. So, generally, it's very simple. It's two aspiration and action. Aspiration, as much as you can, to unconditional love sentient beings as your own kind of family members or mother, like sentient beings. Only child, like if you are older, then you can consider all sentient beings are the only child of yourself, or if you are young, or you can think of both way, elderly or young, you can think of mother like sentient beings, or sentient beings do not want suffering and want to peace and happiness. In this approach or this one side, you can say when your own illusion is gone, then it's like a nightmare. It's no more existed of nightmare. You are wakened up from dream. Then your problem is solved in matter of the fact. So similarly, when you think of other people dreaming, still stuck on the different dreams, you're capable, through your own experience, you're capable to have enough compassion to care and to have the methods to wake up others. So this is the main point of take refuge in the bodhisattva vows or aspiration of bodhicitta. I will read this one. Take refuge in three jewels. I take refuge in three jewels, in three roots, and all sorts of refuge. In order to place all sentient beings in the state of Buddhahood, I give rise to the supreme bodhicitta. Take refuge in the three jewels, the three roots, and all sources of refuge. In order to place all sentient beings in the state of Buddhahood, I gave rise to supreme bodhicitta. Take refuge in the three jewels. The three roots. Three roots means teacher, guru, the lama, and yidam, and then kandro. It's the kind of special Vajrayana tradition. They understand the way of refuge. And all sorts of refuge. In order to place all sentient beings in the state of a Buddhahood, I gave rise to supreme bodhicitta. Now we are in wisdom chapter. In this chapter, last time we already explained some the two truths, and also how other people have critiques or challenging Buddhist idea, and then what is the kind of answer from Madhyamika, especially this book known to Madhyamika tradition, and how Shantideva defend, or you can say explained through reason, what is a view of Madhyamika or middle way school. Maybe easy to understand, always use Madhyamika or middle way school. There are four tenant systems or philosophical schools of Tibetan or the whole Buddhist tradition. One is called Vivashika. This is a Vivashika is the belong to nowadays we call Theravadan tradition. Buddhist spread into Central Asia, Southeast Asia, and East Asia mostly, and all of those places has happened or once happened like heavy spreaded Mahayana or the all these four schools all existed once upon a time or once a while. But now the most Southeast Asia and countries belong to Theravadan tradition, the Mahayana or the Sanskrit tradition or Pali. We can say maybe this way, all Buddhist teachings can be categorized in four languages in ancient tradition. One is the Pali tradition, nowadays in Southeast Asia and the Theravadan tradition, all of these traditions, including Sri Lanka, Burma, and Laos, Thailand, and other places, Cambodia. And these are nowadays mainly practicing Theravadan tradition. This link lineage from many lineages in on history, but the recent lineage very powerful from Myanmar and Sri Lanka. And then Sanskrit tradition, which is a kind of scholarly tradition from Nalanda and the monasteries that spread into Central Asia, many countries, and then nowadays Korea, China, and Japan, Mongolia, and other Himalayan regions. So these two are homegrown and grown language, Bali and Sanskrit. And then it's also sometimes called the Southern lineage and Northern lineage. Bali lineage is Southern lineage of Buddhism. Northern lineage or Northern lineage is belong to the Sanskrit tradition. And then foreign language, mainly it's two important, two foreign language from perspective of India, Indian kind of original tradition. That is Chinese language and Tibetan language. Chinese Buddhism spread into Vietnam, Korea, and Japan, and also some translations also came to Tibet. And Tibetan tradition developed much later, around 7th century, but there also existed this lineage spread into all Mongolia area. And like Buryat, Tuva, and other places like nowadays used to the not maybe not country, but now it's the Bhutan or Nepal area. And also in Manchu Empire time, the royal family mostly very close to many disciples from Tibetan lineage. That is also some link towards Manchuria. So these four languages used to hold Buddha Dharma teachings mainly, but now of course it's all different new translations to Europe and other places also exist. What we're saying, Vaivarshika, this is a proponents of differences. That is saying you are using your sharp mind to try to understand things, how things existed. So this is a Theravadan one of lineage or one category of the basic vehicle, or we can say Bali tradition, which mainly emphasizes this. This one we already mentioned last 2-3 weeks that two truth, how they understand two truth. So I want to repeat these, but generally we can really remember this name Vaivarshika, that is means proponents of differences. And then Sutantika is a follower of a sutra. These are also Bali kind of a tradition. They rely on the quotation from Buddha's own words. This is a close. They're following mostly the main. There are so many studies and the logic and debate everything, but they are emphasize Vinaya very much. Self-discipline is. And then Chitta Mantra, it's Sanskrit tradition, mainly spread into many Mahayana countries. They're also called mind-only school, Chitta Mantra. Chitta Mantra, not Mantra, but Mantra. Chitta Mantra. And then the Madhyamika also, the main kind of stream, one of the important philosophical tradition. It's a middle way school. So in these four tradition, there is some debate and argument between of these traditions. Why this happens? Because of people who have a different understanding, or how to say, what is the true truth? Basically, the all different argument came from what is the true truth. Each tradition has a unique view of this is a relative truth, this is ultimate truth. So then compare those truths, relative truths and the ultimate truths, then they will figure out what is the differences and what is the similarity. And then using the logic and analyzing things to kind of give raise the questions and giving the answer, those kind of happens. Of course, including not only Buddhist tradition, but also other lineage and traditions from ancient Indian philosophical traditions. They also have between some communication and debating, this situation happens. In 13, I think it will start from 13, 12 already. And 13 is a single cause for everything there never was. If ultimately beings are in some nirvana, you will say, but relative cycle in samsara, this is already taught in the last time too. But it's okay, I will remind everybody in these few words. It says, this is one single word, the words to say there is no absolute God, absolute kind of creator. That's why I say no, a single cause for everything there never was. That is saying, because in India also there are different, lot of traditions, but they also existed of creator, belief of creator, creation, creature, this happens. And then if everything explained by saying this is because of a creator, then lot of job done, like people have a ease and not much need kind of saying, oh, this is ultimately rely on the God or everything created by God, or there definitely some meaning within purpose. And you can perspective understanding your own journey, personal experience, or see what you hear from these points. And then you total submit yourself to the God. And then if God is the nature of virtue or compassion, love, tolerance, then you will kind of also creation of that source of goodness. Then you should be kind of, you have a certain determination and convincing yourself to do good. And these are not saying in a kind of a use, or not the function is kind of in compassion, or these are definitely works and also good. Relative truth, they are not just saying in the Buddhist tradition also is a God, a demigod, a different God, but the creator and the God is very different. And then, but ultimately if you rely on the logics, and then you have to say why, like that. So in Madhyamika they would like to raise more question about how the creator is possible to exist. So from their point of view, it said creator or these, if I describe them as a kind of a subjective human, even some with the collective awareness or something, those then there is a lot of debating there, and they also give a raise questions that if the ultimate kind of truth is nirvana, beings are nirvana, and you know, ultimately, if ultimately, that's it, but relatively cycle. In this continues the 14th line of even Buddhahood revert to in the samsaric state. So why you ask, pursue the Buddhahood, Bodhisattva path, as long as there is no cutting of the causal stream, there is no halting even of illusory display. So this is the argument already, this is already done actually. We last time in the class, I remember we already explained this. It says, if only ultimately beings are in nirvana, and also, but relatively there is a cycle of existence of samsara. And also, if you also said this is an argument from other tradition to the Buddhist and Majjhimika tradition, said even Buddha revert to the samsara state. Then it's a problem. Said once you said you Buddha are beyond of samsara. Why Buddha can be here as a human being and walking on the earth, on the earth, and then this is a kind of a contradictory. One side say there is a kind of a how to say expressible, describable is relative. So then must be Buddha also unenlightened the kind of beings. So in this explanation, generally it's just a two truth doesn't mean two truths or kind of a conflict in a normal beings, but in Buddha's his own state, unique of that is saying he's in the same truth simultaneously in the ultimate and the relative. Why this can happen? The Pusa Bodhisattva, he acknowledging everything as it is, without of any hindrance, and at the same time, he can be kind of go beyond of these sort of appearances. That means he won't bound or by or grasp to the phenomenon what appears to him, and he can divide definitely understand everything as it is or there in a very detailed, subtle. What we can understand immediately is our sensory organ appear to us, and then we will make a think and then to have a reason in things. These are kind of a normal human beings kind of able to do or capable to do. But the Buddha is a much, much, much different mental state. He's spontaneous. In 1 second, he, maybe 1 second is too slow, but it said, he sees the three realms as looking at his own palm. Like, that means all-knowing qualities there. Then Bodhisattva, is different in different stages of a Bodhisattva. Bodhisattvas have to make some kind of a shift. When they have a, relative appearances, sometimes some degree of a level of Bodhisattvas, until I think it's a two, eighth, they can see in, if Bodhisattva mind or enlightened beings formed as a normal human being, as a flesh body like us. And then what they see is the same, similar to us, same. Because under this eighth kind of ground, bodhisattva who see same thing. But the mental impact is very different. For them, they have a, you know, immediately kind of understand nature of not disturbed or by any kind of emotional disturbance and cognitive disturbance or distortion is immediately is not there. So in there, and when they wanted to detach, or we can say go beyond of race transcendent, these are like a very easy. So for them, it's stainless. It's said it's like a mercury. Put mercury, one drop of a mercury on the dust, into the dust or ground, then mercury always stay mercury, won't mix with the dust. So same, bodhisattva's kind of mind is that, like that. So he can, bodhisattvas can control their mind, or not control, but capable to switch to ultimate, to switch to kind of relative, where relative truth or ultimate truth. It's quite easy and capable. For normal beings, relative, stay in the relative is easy, because our normal kind of a separate, the subject of objective dualistic experience is already there. But if you say go beyond over this, subjective objective experience, then it's difficult, not easy. Even once you slightly have some experience, but cannot hold along, or kind of easy to lost. So this is a differences between a Buddha, Bodhisattva, and normal human beings. And then they said the Buddha, because of a Buddha, can appear in the samsara due to two accumulations. One accumulation is to achieve an ultimate truth, that is the transcendental wisdom, practice of aspect of transcendental wisdom. That's fruition is Buddha can stay in Dharmakaya, means the emptiness, kind of the fundamental samadhi he can there. And then the aspect of others is because of accumulation of virtues, compassion, aspiration, and all deeds, and these have the great compassion still. After Buddha achieved the Buddhahood, achieving enlightenment, and the aspect of appearance and become a form, through form to benefit sentient being is still the cause of that is still there. So because of these. Free from sting or free from afflictions, so he can both, can do both. But arhat only can tend to nirvana, but the appearance to a different form and to help sentient beings is not there, because they are, the enlightened, the emptiness, understand emptiness, there is a person, emptiness, understanding of this one's own kind of related cause and the condition. They are successfully achieved, but they cannot understand the overall phenomenon, including mind, cognitive power. What these are, they can eliminate that activity, but cannot deeply understand the nature of a mind. Nature of, as I said, also said, nature of phenomenon. So there is a limitation for arhat. So it said in the Majjhimika answer, it said, if this is everything relative phenomenon, as we can see this world, is everything depends on cause and the conditions, or cause and the fruition, causality. So if a cause and the condition is not there, So this illusion, even illusion won't appear. Illusions, this is a world, it's like illusion, but it is illusion not without cause and the conditions. Everything have a cause and the conditions. As we said, this is like if you achieve from like a indescribable Dharma point understanding this way, he said, even Buddhahood, you need the cause and the conditions to achieve in Buddhahood. Even you want, you say samsara or the cyclic existence, also there is a cause and the condition. So to exist, each individual journey, why it become this and that, there is a complex cause and the condition and the result and continue to become a cause. These. So, this is, when the, this is said, but when the cause and the stream is served, even relative phenomena do not appear. And then let's see, this as long as there is an all cutting off of causal stream, there is no halting even of illusory display. So it's a cause, the illusion will appear when the cause and the condition is there. And then even the illusion won't appear when the cause and the condition is not there. So the bottom, the next verses. But when the causal stream is served, even relative phenomena do not appear. That means the, if causes condition is not there, so. And then even that which is deceived does not exist. What is, you will ask, that sees illusion? Illusion, just this is a question. Basically, studying of these are very important. It's saying, eventually we have to understand our judgment, our kind of a preference, this good, this bad, this is a, I want, that is you want, or different opinions and different perspective. These good and bad, everybody have some people have a very strong opinion that if you don't agree with them, they will kind of angry and will list you on the blacklist or something like that. But in this strong emotion rises, if you understand this is just the cause and the condition you have, when you own one person, in different age, different kind of situation, you may have a very opposite thinking and a different kind of preference. When you're young, you like something after a certain education and something grow up, you don't like those anymore. Even you, maybe you kind of disgust or even you reject that. Nowadays you reject something, maybe future you will kind of attach it to. So these are all kind of you may think this is my idea, but nothing is really mine, because even from physical body to mental stream, everything is changing. So you can't say certain time you will appear as a kind of a one under one name, but in details everything is changing in each moment. So then we have to. Or we kind of this understanding of everything is like an illusion. So we reduce the attachment and the suffering and the over joy, something these kind of extreme emotions. Even if we have to leave this world, go kind of next life, we will understand there is a rise and a cease. There is some condition compound, then this phenomenon appears. These elements collapse, then phenomena changes. Then we have if you have a deep understanding of the shunyata and emptiness, Madhyamaka teachings, philosophies, if you can practice then you will be much kind of a freedom, much of a joy. You won't trap any illusion or concept, and the disturbing emotion won't cut you. And even if you cut you, you have a very short amount of time, you will release yourself. Like it said, even snakes can be kind of tight themselves, but when they kind of want to, they will, the knot will be automatically kind of opens or cease. Similarly, when you understand this more deeply, then the grasping, suffering, and create more trouble, kind of troublesome mind will be reduced or eliminate possible for good practice, good practice and practitioners. then, of course, when we study, we kind of focus on the argument and here and there. These sometimes these raise argument raised by non-Buddhist traditional scholars, and some are these what we today we were going to kind of read. This is raised by internal kind of a different lineage, like Chitta Mantra, mind only school, some master debate to the Majjhimika schools, master people. And then the 15, this already said, we already, and this is the question raised. If even that which is deceived does not exist, what is it? You will ask, what is illusion? And then, because this, we have to mention this again, the background of Chitta Mantra, why this question raised by them. Because they have in Chitta Mantra, they have two schools mainly. Both have this understanding of external phenomenons, which is or with subjective experience, objective things. They think that is, if you analyze deeply, any material things, compound things are impermanent, compound things lacking of intrinsic nature, and there is no solid independent thing exist outside. This already analyzed between the Majjhimika, mind-only school, and the follower of a sutra, Sotantika school, and the proponents of analyzing from their point in Vivashika, they also from their point already explained what is relative and what is ultimate from their point of view. It's already detailed kind of the wisdom. Even we say Sotantika, it's kind of a basic understanding from Buddhist kind of philosophical tradition. They put them as a more lower understanding or basic. But when you think what they were saying is very profound. They were saying any things are divisible means that's a compound thing. Until the reach time and the space or material cannot be divided anymore, then they see this as a fundamental existence of a kind of a cosmic or material world, including mind also too. Mind stream related to the time. If you can divide the time, that means mind can be kind of a also. They analyze whether we're doing the time means mind also you can detail until you cannot divide the past, present, and the future. So this is a basic kind of understanding of truth. You cannot divide, you cannot separate time, then this considered as an ultimate truth. And relative truth means that all kind of other things, there is a space and location, there is a past, present, future, you can divide, you can analyze, then we are in the relative world. That is the Sotantika said. And the mind-only school saying, if the divided kind of a nature, let's say, if let's say there's a, they're finding the conflicts from the that Sotantika traditions view, saying anything is a dividable, if there is no such a kind of fundamental particles, basic particles and time, unseparable time exists, because anything, if you say, can be, cannot exist. And then if this is already inseparable, indivisible, then if you put all indivisible things, inseparable things, cannot become large. So that means anything can become large, also divisible, inseparable, divide, or you can say this. So this argument, this conversation of these comes, and then what is the position of a mind-only school? They were saying external appearance very much related, based, rely on the mind itself. Which part of mind is said? It's consciousness, basically. The other consciousness and the functions with between subjective experience, they understand these all very well. But they were saying the elements of these projections and appearance fundamentally from the consciousness of a storage consciousness. That's why, like a dream, we will do nothing. We are not speaking. We are not hearing any sound. We are not seeing, but closing our eyes, and we almost like shut down, like a point, half a shutdown, the kind of a mental, and this very peaceful, and your breathing is very well, the smooth and the slow. In that moment, you still have a dream of you can talk, you can walk, and you jump in, and you're having, seeing things, hearing things, and doing a lot of things. So this immediate experience, even you don't doubt in during that time. So this is a similar. It's in large scale of samsara, we are experiencing another big dream. There are so much condition, and you can say this is different and that is the same. But basically, overall, you will find that there are similarities fundamentally. And then in the Madhyamika tradition, they said, oh, then that's very important. What is mind? If you say mind is real, and in Madhyamika, the mind-only school, there has a two tradition or two lineage, two point of view traditions. One is saying the eighth consciousness is passing through this life to next life. Existed from the beginning of a kind of an illusion, a misunderstanding, and then until the samsara end of yourself individually. And then all the storage consciousness means it's makes sense even in a many scientific point of view. It says another said when you Sotantika and Vedashika also said similar things. Said we are experiencing what we think we understand the existent phenomenon, normal experience, especially five organs, sensory organs, to understanding phenomena. It's actually, we are, how to say, we understand very limited, kind of. We see things for our eyes. We think this is the face of phenomenon. Directly experienced by my eyes and my ears sound. But the Sosantika and this also explained what you are experiencing and seeing, hearing is very limited, partial, or also even twisted by your organ to give you such a kind of a signal. But we are not a whole kind of a picture of all, the picture is not there. We have perceived some and useful and basically especially for our kind of interact daily lives. These are very necessary kind of thing, capabilities. So we are experiencing that part. Our organ already have a kind of a filtered out many things and like that, that's said. And the Margimic, the mind only school, they were saying, not only filter out things, but it's even not a kind of, it's objective, it's just the kind of reflections of the whole collection, collective karma and the individual karma image, karmic images. Our mind is even not only current moment, kind of what we see impact us. We are impacted by even past life experience in our storage conscious mind. That's why when you see same thing, individual, each one have a different aspect and behaviors to kind of, understanding or even manipulating things through individual behavior and habitual pattern to see things. So that it's not only pure kind of experiences, you are perceiving experiences, but you have a lot of baggages from eighth consciousness to experience, you can mixed with those. And then the mind-only school, finally, what they were saying is only mind in subtle mind, the very subtle mind consciousness, seemingly inactive even, but it's a storage consciousness, which is functioning and mainly to give us all life experience. And this is their kind of standing view. And then there's a truth and a false kind of positions of a mind-only school. First of all, means they say, yes, mind-only object and the subject experience, finally, it's an illusion. But this illusion rely on the mind. And that's why we're capable to know. So this is a mind-only school to holding their view. This question. Then Majimika, then we will have to say a little bit Majimika why this question raised. Majimika was saying, we are right, we are not perceiving or direct experience of a phenomenon. We are also agree, we have a impact by mind and even past experience of these. But the external phenomenon and the internal mind, from Majimika point of view, is nothing long-lasting existence, nothing. This is from ultimate truth kind of point of view, said even mind, even your subtle mind are kind of empty of all real existence. So this is, there is a real of mind in subtle exist or non-existent differences is the Madhyamika and they mind the only school, and the middle way school's kind of view is different from that point. Mind only school, obviously, saying in the subtle mind, there is a carry on the information of continual accumulation of information and continue in life after life. So more give us the point of how relative phenomenon carried or information by mind in subtle level. And they were not directly explaining the empty aspect of emptiness aspect of a mind. So, but the Magimeka was kind of fulfilling that part. He's saying, "Oh, mind also empty of existence, or there is no such elements that is also, or is from ultimate point of view, any thoughts, any." Kind of descriptions, and these are relative. So ultimate means you have to penetrate into their own nature if there is a solid, independent, long-lasting existence or not. Then it said no. And then the Majjhimika questioned by mind-only school. I said, even that which is deceived does not exist. What is it? You will ask, what sees illusion? So, from the mind-only school and the middle-way school, both agree external phenomenon, external things are illusion. And then the Majjhimika school said, even mind also, there is no any existence of a real sense of realness. And then the question is, if you deny there is a mind, and then how you understand things, and then even you analyze the internal and external, the mind and the phenomenon. Who is the, or what is the function or capable to know things through, so I think this argument is a little bit, kind of argument, of course, but if you said the relative truth and the ultimate truth, from these points, if you made it clear, then this argument is more or less just the education for people to understand the position of those two schools. Otherwise, not much meaning. But then, it's saying, in a relative sense, even Majjhimika or middle-way school also said, in a relative sense, or the relative truth, then mind and object, these are, no one denying this, their appearances by, with the cause and the conditions and the causality, these. So, but ultimately, there is a mind, projecting everything of existence, these Majjhimika will deny. And then, but if for you these same illusions have no being, this is a from Majjhimika school point of view to kind of a have a raised question towards the Citta Mantra, mind-only school, middle-way school, having given back to questions, of course, the reverse questions towards the mind-only school. And then it said, what is the... And this is a question of saying, in mind only school, you are saying external things are not existed, only mind existed. Then the question is, if mind existed without external kind of world, there is a projector and the projections. Without the object, how what you can raise or project from mind? So it's saying dualistic view must need subject and object. If you deny object, then subject how also automatically sees, or subject experience based on the object kind of intervene with object. So when we say mind, cognitive analyzation or these things, you have to have some information or impact or the from object, and then you can think of or use your logic and many things. But when we say without relying on any object to subjectively thinking, is impossible. That is the question. They said, why is this possible without the object, subject experience is impossible. When we are not saying each case, but fundamentally how we can do it, subject experience without object. The next, they say, but object have another mode of being. You will say that very mode, it's not but mind itself. And then this answer from the mind only school. So it's the same. It said it's the innate of a mind, or mind itself has the storage of mind, storage of consciousness, has the potential to, like as before we said, like dream, or we seemingly experiencing objective experience of a subject object dualistic experience, but basically you are actually just a mental projection came to you, and overall kind of samsara is a big dream. What you are experiencing is from your own kind of collective and individual. You should be mostly fundamentally it's your own alaya consciousness, eighth consciousness that produce those things. So it's a subject-objective union or non-separable in a subtle mind. That is the said it's called mind only, then appears everything. And we think it's outside the experience, but actually it's rely on the fundamentally inside. This is very much closer to the quantum theory, which is also saying in a rough scale or the grosser level of experience, we think we are subject to the experience. This is a objective things, and these are, we think it's very separate, not related much. Even it's said, if you believe of a subjective experience, you are religious people who believe of objective rules or respect of objective itself, it's a scientific kind of approach. And then finally, these are largely kind of many people accept this understanding. So your mental projection is your only real understanding or illusion. And there is a rule, or there is a constraint, or there is a the ultimate objective things have their own kind of a way of existence, or even it's a physics or chemistry or anything, you have to study and understand how things work. It seems like not directly related to how you think. Your thinking and why they're kind of working, functioning, is kind of not directly impact. Only you can through observing, then you can understand how things works. Then you kind of understand, or you become more capable to change or use for yourself these. But the this big kind of of course, this tradition existed in ancient time, but more expressed in a scientific kind of a community and since I think Renaissance, these are more accepted, many people. But then a new, more detailed study, the, what is really real relationship with the subject and object experience, and then until the quantum theory, these comes, then people also come back adult again. Most of the people. That's why saying there is a no independent, absolute object existence without any subject. From the quantum theory point of view, saying you're involving, your mind involving in subtle level, it's very crucial, and it's a kind of a key how things will project, appear to you. So, and then, what is it? Many things and the theories proved that kind of understanding. Although in a grosser level, we think we are very separate subject, object, or human being and phenomena. How you think and how they are, things are, they're very different. But these are not like we think. Roughly, the grosser level, they are functioning, and the subtle level, how things are subject, object, function, the relation is very different. So, we can say there, you can put two truths on there. In the relative level, or grosser level, way, how you think and the things, how things appear are not related. Or at least you can say not related impact very, of course it's impact, but it's saying your, what you're thinking cannot directly change without any doing anything. They were not changing, things are not following, changing by following your own, your subjective experience. But in a subtle level, how things even appear or disappear quite related to what you think or way of your thinking. Thinking. These are very kind of a contradictory conclusion. And then from mind-only school, that's very much closer to or similar experience, explanation of a quantum theory. Let's say mind-only. Why in a subtle level, things are related to your own karma, your own thoughts, and your own behavior. And then the Majjhimika continue to give an argument, say, but if the mirage is the mind itself, what is then perceived by what? The guardians of the world himself has said that mind cannot be seen by mind. This is also very clear. We have to be, have a clear understanding of a subject and a object, and also relative and alternate. So these understanding become easier. And then what Mahatma wanted to prove is saying there is no such a solid existence, even mind level. What the quantum physics or this saying, or mind and the objective experience, third observer and observation impact the appearance of a phenomenon. And then didn't say mind, what is mind? Then in Buddhism, these lot of the teachings about mind, why mind, what is mind, and why, how mind functions, or the consciousness works these things. And then, so, and then this argument giving questions from, raise questions from Majjhimika, using quotation from Sutra, Lanka Avatara Sutra, said, like a knife, of course, that's already said in downwards, I don't want to, maybe we will read later together. And then argument is here saying, if you say so, subjective and a mind, a subjective mind and objective things are innate or fundamentally same in the consciousness of Alaya. So that's why you experience in appearing. If this is a, then it said, you then become object of a subjective non-dual situation. Or it become one, not two. It's not dual situation. And then that means when you experience in something, you are seeing yourself or consciousness are conscious in the consciousness or itself. And then is we subjective, objective, these are no more kind of a, cannot define as a two kind of a way of working, dual working things. Then it said, then do we have a still using the subjective or objective kind of, or otherwise if you say both become subject or become a one, then who see or seen or seeing seed or seeing or they see. It's saying like all this is a two subject become two subjective experience or still in a subtle level it's a one or a subject or an object or become two both or one object or no, there is a no more kind of a subject objective experience from these questioning who seeing who. Or what is this one I said? That mind cannot see them, the mind, seeing the mind. This then continues. In just the same way, Buddha said, the sword's edge cannot cut the sword, but you say it's like a flame that perfectly illuminate itself. This from mind only school giving an example or giving an example of a flame. Say flame burns or light or lamp, a candle, you know, anything. Light comes, then they can shine darkness. And you can see light itself also kind of internal or external both kind of shine. So it's saying what we understand things internal and external by mind. Mind have this quality of knowing and analyzing kind of power. And then the Majjhimika school point of view saying even when you say light can shine, but the argument continues. The first is quotation from Lanka Avatara Sutra. He said, it's like a knife, a sword, he says. Swords, edge cannot cut the sword. Using this example, you cannot use your finger top tips to touch your own fingertip by finger itself, one finger. So similarly, mind cannot see the mind. This argument, but it's a saying the Majjhimika pointing to dragging this question into the ultimate understanding of Majjhimika, and then Chittamantra or mind only school was explaining in this in the functions of relative truth. They were not saying how the subjective experience, subjective objective actions happens in the kind of consciousness. So there's a main point is still in the, one is talking about more about the subjective objective experience, how functions in one mind. And then Madhyamika trying to find out any kind of a clause or how to say, flux to pinpointing or saying this is still this works in the subject, the relative truth, but it's still not the ultimate truth. What the Madhyamika is saying is what the explanation given by subject, the mind-only school is not the ultimate truth. So the argument is, or is there here. And then there's given the, from Madhyamika school, he's saying, if it's like light, if you say light raises, and then compared to what is we call luminous or light, it's compared towards the darkness. This is light. So if there is a darkness, the light will be kind of eliminate the darkness. But there is a no darkness. Light itself cannot say you are lighting anything. Light, kind of how to say. so this is a different aspect. One could say it still can light itself without darkness. It depends on how bright or how light you want, or you are talking about light. Of course, it's a light too, for us, our human eyes, if too bright, become dark. Like you are watching sun or something, then immediately your eye cannot, although usually it's a light can shine things, but for you it make more kind of dark or cannot see clearly, more cannot function well. Similarly, without the differences, comparative differences, color, light differences, we cannot see things. If you all like dark, or if you all everything is the same. Comparison or comparative. Comparison, I think. Comparative kind of comparison, the differences in rough and the subtle, then we, how we kind of see things through. So, it says, what the Madhyamika way of giving the argument here is saying, yes, that's right, it's a light eliminate darkness, but light itself cannot exist without darkness. And then how we, because this is a dual concept, so one without the other, another one cannot exist. Similarly, left and the right, kind of, if you're talking about the right without left, without the kind of common understanding of left, how you can describe left, or you can say this side and the other side is also changing and not fixed, of course, but it's even this changing concept have to be have some kind of a describe this 参照物怎么说来着? You have to use some object, let's see, reference, yes. You have to use some reference to compare. If you said this and that, or so anything, dual kind of concept that you are using reference, same thing. If you light and darken and these without reference, how you can say. So similarly, what this example is giving is saying, if you, one's mind have a capable to know, and without knower, without knowing object or knower or these two dual situation, and then how we kind of the appearance of a subjective without object, how subject knower, how rises consciousness without these object. So this is also one thing. And then said it's no a subject or object also both in the subtle level of consciousness. They were saying in Madhyamika, say this is a like you are saying. If we say if we don't know something after we analyze it, and then we after we kind of apprehend this knowledge. this and then if you say one thing to know without a kind of a particular, if you say that you know your mind as you this described the sword. Sword's edge cannot cut the sword. It's saying, if without unknowing, how you say knowing? So this is the fundamental kind of question. But overall, of course, as we said, this is relative and the truth and ultimate truth issue by using the subject-object kind of a non-dual situation to explain. So, for relative truth, it's totally fine. Everything is what they described in Chitta Mantra and Sotrantika. Everything people perceive in different levels and easily understand that situation. But if you say ultimate truth, ultimate sense, then there's a beyond the subject-object we experience. So, pinpointing out subjective, objective, or like illusion, there are not real. There is nothing essential, real existence. So, the question and answer continues. The flame already we said, but you were saying it's like the flame that perfectly illuminates itself. So dual concept, how you use it, this situation, how you explain when light or knowing these concept or these experience rely on the unknowing and dark. So when we say we don't rely on the object, we only have a subjective experience to kind of describe everything. Then it says, it's like you are saying you don't need darkness and unknowing to can put the existence of a light and a flame or the understanding, these knowing put these. So it's still relative and in relative sense, understanding, understandable. But in automatic, there is an issue too. Because it's a relative concept, of course. And then the flame, in fact, let's see, maybe one line and then we'll stop. the flame, in fact, can never light itself. And why? Because the darkness never dims it. the blueness of a thing by nature blue, you say, depends, unlike a crystal, upon nothing else. Likewise, when some perceptions come from other things, while some do not. But something that that's by nature blue has never of itself imposed, itself imposed. But the blueness on it, non-blue itself. And so these are, we're going to continue. Using this blue and the dark, and you know, this darkness and flame we already explained. And then the blueness. This one is also using the example of one is the flame, saying there's clarifying the argument. And then next is the, this is a particular stone, gem stone. But it says, mind only school giving this explanation for that argument from Majjhimika. I said, mind is like impacted by a objective existence. This is, although this is fundamentally, it's a project from, projecting or raises from your own deep consciousness, what you kind of a subjective experience, or how you experience things. But also, when you interact with the phenomenon, with the image which is related to your own projection, then you also impact by that. You felt this is objective, subjective involvement, and then actions comes. And then this is, it's like a crystal. Crystal clear, like a, glass. If you put crystal or glass, put in any color on top of any color or bottom, you put different color, then this crystal kind of appears impacted by that color. Crystal also become red when you put it on a red table or red cloth, red fabric or something. If you put a crystal into grassland or something, then it will still appear green. Similarly, our mind impacted by external phenomena, what we call the external phenomena from the point of view. And also, some sense, as we said, it's a storage of consciousness. So they have their own condition. So each one has a different opinion and preferences. It's like this blue stone. There is a special name, I think, not mentioned in this book. But this blue stone never changed their color by just putting other thing nearby. So, not immediately impact towards this blue stone. It's similarly, we already accumulated for a long time in the consciousness, and some conditions are changing slowly, not impacted by immediately, very large, in a large scale, cannot be changed. So this is a saying, there is a mind, their own kind of color or their own karmic imprint from consciousness of eighth consciousness. And also consciousness, the projection of external phenomenon and bound back to the mind, there also some impact from that of external environment or external things. Or you can say five sensory organs power also there to impact and continue to collect those information into storage consciousness. So these two, they explained from here. And then this one is said, and then the last one, the Madhyamika tradition of the Middle Way school, kind of rejecting that or posing that answer. It says, but something that by nature, let me see. And then they said, by something that's by nature blue has never of self-imposed. Blueness is not non-blue itself. Blueness on it, non-blue itself. The blue stone, which is big, just the arguing that example, given example by mind only school, he cannot accept that example, which is saying why he said anything you think of, any object you involve in your mind, and this is already compound, which their argument is, they saying the mind can project every external phenomenon, and why, what is mind, the nature of mind, and then this example cannot explain how it's a blue stone kind of not impacted by other objectives nearby, that is saying not blue stone itself is never blue. From Madhyamika point of view, saying blue stone, there is a moment of become a blue stone for our eyes, but there are the blueness of this stone is not their own real kind of a state or real situation. They cannot be there. So cause and the condition become so-called blue for temporary for now. And they are not intrinsic kind of nature of the stone itself. So this is a kind of a things that answered here. And then we'll do maybe, let's see, one more. The phrase, the lamp illuminates itself. The mind can know and formulate, but what is there to know and say that mind itself illuminating? So that is a question raised by a Madhyamika school to mind only school, the Middle Way school to mind only school. So fundamentally, overall, these given a lot of flame and a stone, these crystal, these examples, what Madhyamika school, mind only school are saying is mind are the capable to know the mind itself, subjective experience is possible. And then Madhyamika is saying that is a kind of a still not the ultimate sense of reality, and also some logic problems about that is possible to raise those questions for that. So it said, without proper investigation, you can say that mind capable to know mind. That's also a common experience. We are watching our mind and meditating on it, and you are purifying your own mind, and the mind capable to do aware of alert and itself, awareness of anything of a movement, these. let's see. And then, but what is the So using this, giving raise question, but using the also same example, said the light or so. It said if you one person can say subjective and objective not existed, but I know still. Is it possible for kind of I said then subjective objective? It's not two as a two aspect or two position or two kind of dual kind of a reflections comes, and then who going to see the mind itself? And then for this logically, it's difficult to kind of understand this. He said, but of course, if you only use the logic, there is also limitation too, but it's a great approach to gateway to the enlightenment, you can say. So if you light, it's already kind of a, like mind to know, but light, as we said before, light, or flame, these are used for darkness. Without the subjective objective, or without light on dark, those kind of a reference or the these things, difference, comparison, or these subjective objective experience, the perspectives. Then how we can say we know our mind by subjective experience. So here. Any expression, and this is a not ultimate view, ultimate truth. It's normally we can say, and in if mind capable to know the mind and also create the object of or impact the object of how peers, these. This is called the cause and the conditions, or its nature and the cause and the conditions. And you understand your mind from relative point of view, it's absolutely valid, no question about it. And but any objective, subjective, or we can say pinpoint or analyze it, you also can see these subjective experience and even subjective subject, object, or mind, or material, or the empty nature. Or you can find there is no independent, solid existence, long-lasting existence. So what we can measure, what we can talk and think, is still in the relative truth. So it said ultimate is beyond of words, beyond of descriptions. And then, and also in what is the logic between these. So the question raised by Majjhimika is saying, you see here, but what is there to know and say that mind itself is illuminating. Who can then become a double kind of subjective experience, or spontaneous in same time to have a knowing and reject and the projections is it comes together. And those, of course, now time is there. These argument or explanation may not that interesting, very dry sometimes these, or sometimes very interesting and for some people very keen to study and this. But automatically, for practitioners, these argument are useful for detachment. so much attachment, so many judgment, so much kind of realness of self and others, so raising different emotions and then impact. You wanted to success or you wanted to become this and that. You have a expectation of yourself and others. These so much different argument and then disagreement and sometimes agree and wanted to continue any, or sometimes disagree. You wanted to continue that disagree. Those grass pains are missing point or of ultimate and the relative, the understanding reference, different reference of relative and ultimate. And any subject of an object or phenomenon, intrinsic nature is emptiness. They can appear as a spontaneous, because of emptiness, they can appear all possible, kind of capable of all appearances are possible. And only Buddha can, Bodhisattvas, as we described this also, but the perfect kind of understanding has directly, and these are from Buddha's fundamental kind of samadhi achievement. And normal kind of human beings, through this question and answer, and these analyzation and logics, can be also approaching to that ultimate truth. So I will stop here today. Dedication prayers. As the courageous Manjushri understood, and just like Shamada Bhadra as well, I now dedicate all this virtue following their example, one and all. Since dedication has been praised as a spring by all the victorious ones throughout three times, all of the fundamental virtues I have are fully dedicated to practicing this line. By this merit, may all beings, may all attain omniscience and defeat the enemy wrongdoing from storming waves of breath, old age, sickness, and death, from the ocean of existence. May all beings be free. By this virtue, may all beings complete the collections of merit and wisdom, and attain to sacred kayas that rises from merit and wisdom. Throughout this goodness, may omniscience be attained, and thereby may every mental defilement be overcome. May beings be liberated from the ocean of samsara, which is troubled by waves of birth, old age, sickness, and death. Thank you very much, and we will see you next time. 다시 돌아와